We're going to continue to see videos like that throughout the entire week to go over this life of Saul. Names have been changed, but I think you're probably going to start seeing who represents who in these videos. But if you got a Bible, and I hope you do, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. We'll get there in just a little while. But that's where we're going to be mostly at. That's where the record of Saul is in 1 Samuel, and starts off in that 1 Samuel chapter 8. If you're going, hey, where's 1 Samuel? Table of contents is your friend, so find it. Table of contents in the front. It'll tell you when 1 Samuel starts, and then you can find that page, and then just flip over to when you finally get to chapter 8. My name's PJ, you guys. I actually live in Fresno, so I didn't have to travel very far to get here, but I love being up here, and I love being able to share with you guys, especially about King Saul. I think some of us are going to relate to Saul a little bit more than maybe we think we do, and maybe some of us are actually going to be a little disappointed. At least I am sometimes, that I'm disappointed that I actually relate to Saul as much as I do. But if you don't know the story of King Saul, maybe this week you just keep on reading through 1 Samuel on your own, and you can just keep on reading ahead and see what that talk tells you about Saul, but we're going to be looking at that. Before we do, though, I always thought, like, hey, how can maybe we get to know each other a little bit? I hope I get to know you a little bit this week. I don't want to just come up here for a chapel. So if you see me walking around or something, like on free time, something like that, then you want to chat, I'd love to do that. So just want to make sure that you guys know I want to be available for you guys to get to know you. And I thought, well, maybe you guys get to know me just a little bit right now before we actually go into it. You guys know the saying, like, a picture's worth a thousand words? The saying like that. So I thought I would show you a picture of me in eighth grade. So there I am. This is my laughing. That's really good. Thank you very much. Me, thank you. Thank you. One person thinks I look nice. So anyway, this is me in eighth grade, you guys. And looking at the picture, you're probably going, oh, now I know a whole lot about you, PJ. So that's fine, but I'm going to let you even ask me a couple questions. So, in fact, I'll have four questions that can be asked of me. Anybody that wants to, I'll let you know. But I'll probably take a question from, like, the first half of this side, and then maybe the back half, and then maybe the first half of this side and the back half. So one question from each one of those sections. But here's the deal. The question has got to be, PJ, anything about my life when I was this guy? Okay, so in other words, start your question with, oh my goodness, this is a really close up. Okay, start your question with, PJ, when you were in junior high or when you were in middle school, and then you ask the question. So if you say, hey, PJ, are you married? Do you have kids? I'm going to say, no, I was not married and I did not have any kids in eighth grade. Okay, so I'm only going to answer from when I was in junior high, so, or middle school. So that's the deal, okay? So I'll try to answer any question you got. There might be a question that might be better to answer alone, like, hey, one-on-one, that could happen, but I will really try to answer the questions that you have. From this section here, look at you. Yeah. Wow. Okay, yeah, you're going to die if I don't pick you, I think. You know, wow, the most serious question like somebody could ask. You know what? I'm going to come back and answer that one last. Did you hear his question? In junior high, did I believe in Christ? That was your question, right? In junior high, did I believe in Christ? So I'm going to answer that one at the end because I think that's probably the biggest question you should ask and know about anybody. So let me just wait on that. Is that cool? I'm going to wait for the last one. Back section. Way back there. You raised your hand. Yeah. Did I get good grades? Yes, I did get good grades. I'm gonna tell you a little bit about myself. So maybe somebody else has got a question, I'm gonna answer it right now. I got like straight A's all the time. So some of you is that kind of person. You're that person. I'm gonna tell you, and some of us, maybe we need to admit this. I got my value, my identity was in my grades. Like, that was one thing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what made me like feel I was valuable if I could succeed. All of us have something that we want to succeed in to make us have value. I think that really happens for most of us. So for me, it was grades. I went, okay, what can I be good at? I'm not good at this. I'm not good at, you know what? I can study. I can get a good grade. So I was also that person that if I got an A minus, that minus, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, was like the worst thing I could ever get. An A minus was bad. A B, even worse. A C would have been like death, you know what I mean? Like, that would have been like, oh no, I'm average, you know? Like, so it was that way. How many of you guys can relate to me? Honestly, you're relating to me, okay? You guys, honestly, man, I'm telling you, that's what I did all the time. So I got straight A's all the time. And for most, I would say for at least most of the time, I got A's. So, because that's what I wanted to be good at. I could find something I was good at. So I was the guy that, you could find me in the library with, yeah, you know what the library is, where they have all those books. Anyway, you could find me in a library, but not reading books. I hated to read. And I would be playing Dungeons and Dragons with my buddies. I mean, you know what Dungeons and Dragons is? It's an old game, still exists, but like Magic, whatever. So that would, now you're going, oh, I'm starting to get it out. No, I was that nerdy, get good grades, but socially, like, not connected at all. You know what I mean? I started, guys, when I was a sophomore in high school is when I started to take a shower every day. I just didn't think I needed one. And so, you guys, honestly, but by the time I was a sophomore, I went, huh, nobody wants to hang around me anymore, so what's the deal here? So started taking a shower. But I was that guy, you know. Some of you are going, oh, you're that guy. I know who you are. Like, I know the guy. Okay, gotcha. You're playing some kind of role-playing game in the library. You take a shower once a week. You're socially, like, you got greasy. I got it. You get the straight A's, but you're the nerdy, dorky, geeky. Got it. You're that guy. And some of you guys are going, PJ, me and you. You're like, hey, man. You don't want to admit it, but you're like, you know what? I got you, you know? I totally understand you. So there you go. That was me, junior high. Question in the front here. Yeah. Yeah, you. I guess I'll pick you. Yeah.
Are there foxes on your shirt?
I don't know.
Of all the questions,
I don't know what's on my shirt there. I don't know what's on my shirt. Is it a close-up? What? I don't know. It looks like an eagle to me.
What?
Does that look like an eagle to you? The wing stuff? Kind of looks like an eagle. So I think it's eagles. Eagles. It goes, oh, he's getting even closer. What? I think, yeah. They're wings. It's eagle, guys. Eagle. Okay. Thank you very much. You can go off now. Hey, can you get a close up on the zit on the chin there too? Can you do that? Because that's what we, there you go. Here's the close up on that. So there, thank you. Okay, there you go. So I was working on that one for like a week. That was really cool. So anyway, so there's me. So yes, that was the first time I've ever asked that question. Just saying. I got that shirt from my brother who was 10 years older than me. We were really poor. We got really poor. And so I would always get hand-me-downs. I never had new clothes myself. And I just thought that's just the way it is. I was the youngest. And I had two brothers older than me. And anybody else get like the hand-me-down stuff? You know, yeah, that's what I got. So, okay, back section there. I have no, you know what? For some reason, I'm going to pick you right there. Like, you're pointing to her. So I'm going to pick her. Yeah. Yeah, you're the one that's wondering, like, yeah. Okay, in eighth grade, did I have a girlfriend? Okay, you obviously were not listening to me this whole time. Because honestly, all of you guys that were really listening to me, answer that. Did I have a girlfriend in eighth grade? No, I did not have a girlfriend. I wish, man, girls scared me to death. You guys are scary, I'm serious, man. You're scary, man. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, man, they're scary. But I had this dilemma, you know. I was like, wow, I'd really like to have a girlfriend, but then girls just really scared me. And so there's no way, even if they would have liked me, if there was a girl that would like a guy that never took a shower. But anyway, that was me in eighth grade. So my first girlfriend was when I was a freshman in college. First girlfriend. Get this, you guys. I didn't know if I was. I don't know what I feel about camps like this, honestly, because I have I've had great experiences at camp, but this is my one bad experience. Here's what happened. We got together the day before she went to camp. She went to this high school camp. She was in high school. I was a freshman in college. She was in high school. She went to this camp. She met a guy, came back and dumped me. Just like some of you guys are probably going to do this. Anyway, so, but that's, no, get this. That was my first girlfriend. So we were together for a week, but we weren't even really together. That was my first girlfriend. My second girlfriend, you guys, was when I was a senior in college. Second girlfriend, and I married her. That's it. That was all I had. So, her name is Sherry. She's awesome, guys. We've been married for 29 years, and it's awesome. So there you go. Okay. All right. So you feel like, now, hopefully you got to know me just a little bit. I took the four questions. And by the way, you want to ask me questions after this, you can ask me, you know, take me and ask me whatever you want to ask. So here we go, especially if you relate it to me. Thank you. The first question, which was, when I was in junior high, did I believe in Christ? Oh, excellent question. Okay. Here's the deal, you guys, and I think some of you guys are going to relate to me. I mean, a Christian school thing, I would guess some people are going to really relate to me. I started going to church. My mom started taking us to church when I was about 5 years old. I went to Sunday school. Any of you guys gone to Sunday school, you know, thing, and you get Sunday school class. And I remember the teacher. Now, I don't know if this is what they were trying to tell me, but I'm telling you kind of how I heard it. Basically, this teacher, when I was 5 years old, basically was asking us, does anybody here want to go to hell? And I thought, this is the dumbest question I've ever heard. Like, burning forever. It's like, oh my goodness. I was like, no, I don't want to go. I was thinking, I don't want to go to hell. And she's like, hey, do you want to go to heaven? And I was thinking, wow, streets of gold. Oh, man, no tears. It's great. Of course I want to go to heaven. You know, I'm 5 years old. And she's like, hey, how about, do you want to accept Jesus? And I thought, you know, what does that mean to accept Jesus? But it was like, I thought, she talked about Jesus. Jesus dying on a cross for me, you know, loving me, everything. I thought, well, he sounds great. So of course I want it. Yeah, that sounds great. She's like, pray this prayer. So we prayed a prayer and we got done and said, amen. And she goes, congratulations, you're now a Christian. You're going to heaven. And I was like, this is fantastic. I actually started going, you know, from 5 years old up until I was in high school. I kept thinking this way, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to heaven. I'm totally okay. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. I believe all the stuff about him. And I really did, you guys. I believe the stuff that the Bible said about him, everything. I believed all the stuff about him. But I never believed in him. This is huge, you guys. That little word in, you guys know John 3:16, probably you do, some of you do, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes about him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes that Jesus died for you, was buried, rose from the dead, died for your sins, that if you believe that, then you're saved. Is that what it says?
No.
It doesn't. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him. You guys, and we go, what does it mean to believe in somebody? We know what it means to believe in somebody. I think we make it too complicated. But I'll even ask you this. I believed everything about Jesus. But all the way through that time, guess who I believed in? Somebody just said it, yourself. Isn't that amazing? We know that's basically the thing that we're doing. Am I either going to trust myself or am I going to stop trusting me and I'm going to trust him with my life instead? Guys, I never did that. So if it's like, hey, did you believe in Christ when I was in eighth grade? This is the biggest thing, guys. If you would have asked me in eighth grade, do you believe in Christ? I would have said yes, and I would not have been lying, but I would have been wrong. I wouldn't have been like, well, I really don't believe in Christ, but I'm going to tell you I do because I want you to think I do. That's not what was going on in my head. I was going, yeah. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I believe in God. You know how we always say to people, I believe in God. Hey, you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God too. We give each other high fives. Yeah, we believe in God. But we don't really mean we believe in God. What we really mean is that we believe about God. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe that he exists. I believe that he did all this stuff. I believe that he sent his son. I believe some of us in this room, you guys, if nothing else, all you needed to hear this week was what you needed to hear tonight. We're going to probably touch bases with this later on this week. But I'm going to seriously ask you something. Because what Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said that many people will stand before him at the end. Many people will stand before him and will say, Lord, Lord. In other words, they're going to know who Jesus is. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to turn around and say, I don't know who you are. Depart from me. We never had a relationship. And then they're going to say, but I did all these things for you. We cast out demons. We went on mission trips. I went to a Christian school. I went to church every single week. I prayed prayers. I made sacrifices. I did all these things. I worshiped as much as I could. And he's going to say, I don't know who you are. You believed all the stuff about me. You did a bunch of stuff for me. But the whole time you just believed in yourself. You didn't believe in me. You didn't hand your life over to me by faith. You just kept your life. Guys, he says many. He doesn't say a few. Many that'll happen to. That hit me. And it was when I was a freshman in college that it really hit me, and we'll talk about it later this week. But maybe that's something that's going to hit some of you tonight. Maybe the whole reason why you came is because you think you're fine because you know who Jesus is. But maybe you're not. I don't know. Do you know why I say that, you guys? It's because that's King Saul. King Saul thought he was fine. He believed all the stuff about, they talked about Theos. Did you hear them talk about Theos in this? God, that's who represents God. That woman that says, I speak for Theos, that represents Samuel. She's called Selah in this, but she's Samuel in the story. So kind of keep that in mind. And we'll meet King Saul. He's called Kael in this, King Kael. But he's going to be the King Saul. Guys, King Saul thought he was fine. He even did things for God. He went on missions for God. He sacrificed to God. He worshiped God. He prayed to God. He did it all. But guess who he believed in the whole time? Himself. Big difference, you guys. So before we get to Saul, though, let's talk about the actual people of Israel. You saw in the video tonight, and this is kind of what happened. The people all got together. They said, hey, you got your king is God, right? And they said, what do we want? We want what? I don't know. We want a flesh and blood king. We want a king. And of course, Samuel's going, you already have one. And they're like, no, we want a king like everybody else has one. You know, that actually happened with the nation of Israel. If you remember how the nation of Israel started with Abraham, remember that? Has kids, grandkids, everything else. Then you have these 12 kids, and they started the 12 tribes of Israel. They ended up going to Egypt because of Joseph. And then while they were in Egypt, remember what happened? They went into slavery there, remember? And then remember Moses? Moses was raised up about 500 years into slavery. Moses is raised up, and Moses, you know, through Moses, rescues the people. They go through the Dead Sea and everything else, or the Red Sea, and then they go, you know, and they wander in the wilderness, and they finally get into the Promised Land. For the next about 500 years, they're in the Promised Land, and they don't have a king like everybody else does. It's not that they don't have a king. Who's their king?
God.
But they don't have a king like everybody else. But what God does during that about 500 years, when he starts ruling the people, he uses some people called judges. You ever heard of them? It's a book of judges. Judges were like people that God would raise up just during certain times that the people would need to be rescued from something or taught something or challenged or maybe disciplined or something like that. The judges would stand up. God would just use them. And then after the judges did what they were meant to do, they would kind of ride off in the sunset. And then when the next like critical thing happened, or they needed another judge, or somebody to speak for God, God would raise up another judge. And God was the king, he used judges. That's what happened for about 500 years. And then we get finally to Samuel. Samuel was the last judge. He was a prophet, he was also the last judge. And let's pick up what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when Samuel's getting older. It says in verse 4, let's pick it up there. Verse 4, so all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you're old and your sons don't follow your ways. In other words, man, you're old and your kids are jerks. Like, and we don't want any of your kids ever being a judge. So, hey, what do we do? It says, now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. We want a king like everybody else has. I don't know about this whole judging thing and God being our king and raising up judges. We want to stop that. We want to have a king like everybody else. And it says in verse 6, but when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. Guys, I love this part, but it's sad. Seriously, think about how God is feeling in this. Look what it says in the rest of verse 7. It's not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they're doing to you. Samuel, what they're doing to you, man, I'm used to it. That's what God's saying. I'm used to people rejecting me. Isn't that sad? God is used to people rejecting him. People do it all the time. He goes, and these people, these Israelites, they rejected me before, and they're just rejecting me again. It's not the first time. It's not going to be the last time. Samuel, it's not on you. This is something that I need to deal with them. It's kind of sad, isn't it? But we know that's true. Maybe even we know maybe that's a little bit true in our lives too, man. We're like following God, and then we don't. And then we follow God, and then we don't. And then we follow God, and we don't care. And he's like, man, I want to work with you. But he says, you know what? You go ahead and give them a king. That's what they're asking for. Almost like, okay, they're asking for this. And sometimes God says, man, it's not good for you, but I'm going to give you what you think you want to show you what you really need. Maybe that's happened with us too. It's happened with me. I'm going to give you what you think you want, which is really even bad for you. I'm going to allow you to have that to show you what you really need. So he says, hey, give it to him. He says, but, he says, now in verse 9, he says this, now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights. What will this king do? He says, man, let them know that. Let them know what they're getting into. So look at what it says in verse 10. This is amazing. Think about if you were in that group that people are saying, we want a king. Samuel comes to us. This is what he says. Samuel told, verse 10, told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, hey, this is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. This is what he's going to say. I have a right to do this. Look what he says. He will take your sons and make them serve with chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. He's going to take your sons, and he's going to put them in the front lines of the battles. How dangerous is that? That's your kids. Here's what he's going to do. Just know that. He's not going to be in the front. Your kids are going to be in the front. He's going to be in the back. So that's what he's going to do. Look what it says in verse 12. Some people he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of 50s. That sounds really good. But get this, you guys. In a battle, the enemy always wants to take out who? The people that are following the orders or the person that's the commander? They want to take out the commanders. Another dangerous place. It's not the king that's going to be out there being the commander. He's going to send your kids out there to be commanders. Then it says, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He's going to take some other of your kids. He's not going to put them in the front lines, but he's just going to probably, he's going to basically just have them serve him, make things for him. Chariots, weapons, whatever else. And they're just going to have to do this. Look what he says will happen to the girls, to the daughters. That's what's going to happen to sons. Look what he says in verse 13. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. They're going to become his servants to do whatever he wants them to do. Look at verse 14. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He's going to take the best land that you have for himself. And look at this in verse 15. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and tenants. He's going to tax you. The stuff that you do get to keep, he's going to tax you on it. So he's going to take away the best stuff you have, and the rest of the stuff you got left, he's going to tax you on it. And you're going to have to keep spending taxes. Then he says in verse 16, Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own. He will take, look at the first part of verse 17. He will take a tenth of your flocks. So not only is he going to take your sons, not only is he going to take your daughters, he's going to take your land and he's going to take your crops. How's that sound? Did he say anything good that this king was going to do? Not the man. This is what this king's just going to take everything from you. And then look at the last thing he says in verse 17. He will take a tenth of your flocks and you yourselves will become his what?
Slaves.
Not only will he take your kids, your land, your crops, your livestock, he's going to take you and you're going to become his slaves too. I would have thought at the end of this that the guys, if I was in that group, I'm thinking I would have said, okay, you know what? On second thought, maybe we should think about this whole king thing, right? Maybe the judge thing actually is better. And having God be the king, you know, that's what I would be thinking, wouldn't you? I'd be thinking, come on, you guys. This obviously, this is what you should say. Look what it says in verse 19. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. I'm thinking, why? Why? The cost. Look what they say. They say two things. Verse 20. Then we will be like all the other nations, and we'll have a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. Did you catch the first one? No, we want a king because so that we can be like everybody else. Everybody else has a king. We should have a king too. They struggle the same thing that we struggle with. We're looking for places in our life to be like other people. We don't want to be rejected. We want to be accepted by other people. We don't want to be too different. So let's blend in. And then he says, man, and then we're going to have a king, like, can kind of parade out there in front of all our battles and stuff like everybody else has. Man, we're going to have this thing. He's going to give us what we want right now today. All that other stuff you told us, Samuel, okay, that could happen in the future, whatever, you know. But you know what? He's still going to give us what we want right now, even though we're going to become his slaves. Isn't that crazy? And I thought to myself when I read this, I thought, I would never, ever do that. And then you know what God said to me? He says, PJ, you've done that I don't know how many times. I'm like, what? I don't know if any of you are thinking, man, I would never do that. Are you kidding? The cost? I'm not going to become somebody's slave in order to just get what I want. You guys, we've all done that. We've all done it. I'm going to explain something to you guys that it just changed my whole world when I saw this truth. I'm going to ask you guys a question this week. Here's the question. Who is your king? Just think about it. Who's your king? Notice I'm not asking you, do you want a king? Who's your master? Who's your ruler? Who is the one that's ruling over you? Guys, I'm not asking you if you want to have someone ruling over you. I'm just asking you who it is. Do you know why I'm asking it that way? Because every single person in this room has a master. Every single one of us has a king. And now get this. This is the biggest truth. There's only two. For every human being there is, guys, not just people in this room, every single person on this planet has one of two kings. One of two kings, you guys. One of them we already know is the one that they rejected, which is who? God. The other one, in this case, we're going, oh, it's Saul. Well, that's not us. They were picking Saul, but they didn't realize the king that they were actually picking. The king that they were actually picking was sin. You guys, everybody has one of two kings. It's either God or it's sin. Some people would say it's either God or me. See, I think some of you guys are going, oh, it's either God or me. The reason why you think it might be you, for some of you in this room are going, you know what? Nobody rules me. I rule me. That's because the ruler of your life has fooled you into thinking that you're in control. We'll talk about that more tomorrow morning. But that's the truth, you guys. And I want to tell you the truth, because some of us don't realize it, but it really is that. And if you're going, you know what? God does not rule over my life. And you go, but this doesn't, and this doesn't, nothing else does. It's only because we bought a lie. If God is not ruling over your life, there's only one other ruler that you could have. And if you don't think that sin is your ruler and your master, it's only because sin has fooled you and deceived you, because it doesn't want you to think that it's your master. And it's fooled you. That's what these guys were choosing. You look at it, you go, wow, God even said, like, hey, when they wanted this other king, they're rejecting me. You can't have more than one king. You're only going to have one. Which one is it? Going on in chapter 10, you guys, just turn a couple pages. I want you to think about the king that they rejected and maybe the king that maybe some of us have rejected. You know what? I'm not sure about God being king. Look at what happens. Samuel comes back to them in chapter 10. Just turn a couple pages. In verse 17, it says, Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah, and he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected your God who saves you out of all your disasters and calamities. Look at the people said, and you have said, no, appoint a king over us. He goes, I want to remind you, the king that you're rejecting is the one that took you out of the land of Egypt, that took you out from the power of Egypt, the most powerful nation there was on the planet at the time, and rescued you from that, and rescued you from all these other kingdoms that were really powerful. You're rejecting the king that has all the power to be able to do anything in your life, save you from anything, do anything. And you're picking this human being. Do you get what you're doing? And then he says this. Did you notice he says at the end of verse 19, he goes, you've rejected your God who saves you out of all your disasters and calamities. I don't know what you think about when you think of calamity. Have you ever had a calamity in your life? Or a disaster in your life? Disasters and calamities are things that I go, I have no control over. Like a disaster, man, it's like everything's falling apart. A calamity, I think of a calamity as like everything's confusing. You know what I mean? Like it's a calamity. It's all confusing. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. And God is there saying, I know where to go. I know where you can turn. I know what's best for you. So not only does he have all the power, but he has all the wisdom. He knows about life way more than we do. There is never going to be a puzzle that he can't solve. There's never going to be a calamity or a disaster that he can't understand what the solution is. And we reject that. You know what I've done, you guys? I've looked in the mirror and tried to figure it out myself as if I have any wisdom at all. I go to my friends who are just as unwise as me. And I don't go to the God of the universe who created it. I go to our culture. And our culture says, live this way. Man, why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? We're ignoring the one who has all the wisdom. Then you turn the page again, you guys, and go to chapter 12. And chapter 12 is when the people, you know, they have this king now with Saul. And then Samuel comes to him one more time and says, man, I want you guys to see what you're doing. And all he does is he prays that God will have it rain during a season that it's not supposed to rain. Hey, God, will you just cause a thunderstorm at a time when you're not supposed to have thunderstorms? And so God does. God causes this thunderstorm. And at that moment is when the people go, oh, no, what have we done? Because they were in that moment, they went, hold it. King Saul can't make a thunderstorm. And we're rejecting the one who has even control over nature. What have we done? All of a sudden it hits them. Just like maybe it hits you sometimes. You're going through life without following him as king. You're like, what am I doing? But look what it says, you guys. Look what it says in verse 19. In verse 19, it says, the people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. We shouldn't have done that. And you know what Samuel actually told them before? He said, you know what? You guys are going to get a king, and then you're going to regret it, and God isn't going to do anything about it. You're going to have to just live with it. So now all of a sudden they're going, wait, we should have done this. So I'm expecting Samuel to say, you know what? I already warned you. You should have listened to me. Too bad. He doesn't say that. Look what it says in verse 20. Don't be afraid, Samuel replied. You have done all this evil. Yeah, you guys blew it. Rejecting God as your king, going to something else. Yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. But look at verse 22, you guys. Look what he says. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. Even though God said, don't come running to me and crying to me when you guys figure out that this isn't working. When they did run to him and cried to him, he said, okay. He didn't reject them because he made them his own. Guys, the same thing's true with you. I don't know where you're coming from this week. You got secrets in your life that other people don't even know about. I know it. Stuff that you know is not good sin in your life. You know, some of you already know you're slaves of sin, but you know it. And you're wondering, like, have I blown it so much that God is going to reject me? God created you, you guys. He is not going to reject the child that he created. He's waiting for you to come to him. And this week might be the week that you go, you know what? I need to reject any other king. And just say, you know what? I need to go back to the king who has all the power, who can do anything in my life, who has all the wisdom. He knows about how to do my life more than I do, and he loves me. He created me. One last thing I wanted to show you. Look at verse 24. When Samuel says to him, he says, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Says, you know what? How about you just serve him? And he says, consider what great things he has done for you. Consider, you guys, that God is the one with all the power. Not our culture, not our friends, not sin. God is the one who is all wise. He knows what's best for you. And God is the one who cares about you. Will you just take a moment, you guys, this week, look at God fresh and say, you know what? Have I accepted him as my king? Or have I rejected him? Do I just know stuff about him? Or am I actually handing my life over to him? Remember, King Saul knew all the stuff about him. But that's not the question. What are you going to do with him? So I ask you guys again, and for you to answer on your own this week, who or what is honestly your king? Huge question. Think about it. Really think about it. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you again for just a good start. And with just the question, that question, God, that we would all just ask ourselves, who's my king? What's my king? Maybe some of us, we need to ask it every day. Who's my king today? What's my king today? What's ruling over me today? God, just keep us showing us through this week more about you, maybe a little bit more about Saul, how we can relate to him, but God, how we can maybe do things different than what Saul ended up doing, that we would be humble and say, okay, I need to change the way I'm doing it. I need to go to God. God, that we would not reject you just to be like everybody else. But we would follow you because it's really what's best. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.